7 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, Monday style. Lots to talk about this hour. Our phone number, our text line, 343-0106. That's not a mass number. That's not from Sierra Leone. Local 343-0106. Also coming up this hour, your chance to win tickets to Bryan Adams' Shine a Light Tour coming to the Wharf Amphitheater this Friday, 8 o'clock show. Tickets on sale now, Ticketmaster.com, Wharf Box Office, or charge by phone, 800-745-3000. Maybe it could be a Mother's Day gift and Mama wants to rock on with Bryan Adams, or you want to go. We've got those tickets available sometime between now and 9 o'clock. And reminder, too, Jim Gaffigan tickets coming up during Midday Mobile today. All right, this segment of the program brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's a Monday. Let's get the week started the right way. You've had that honeydew to get rid of the junk on your list for a long time. Scratch that off and make that call to 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You can get an appointment time like today, tomorrow, sometime this week. Have them come out, assess the junk, and if you agree on the price, well, they'll get right to work, get the junk gone. Of course, it's a national company, but my buddy Trey is the local franchisee, Mobile, Baldwin County. So they can come to your house, they can come to your business, storage unit, wherever you got junk, you need it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And it is that simple. You make the call, you go online, you make the appointment, and they're there, 1-800-GOT-JUNK or 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, we talked about it this morning some, and of course in the news headlines, as naval assets moving their way towards the Middle East, here's Barbara Starr from Westwood One with more.
He said the United States is deploying the USS Abraham Lincoln Carrier Strike Group and a bomber task force, those Air Force bombers, to send a clear and unmistakable message to the Iranian regime that any attack on United States interests or those of our allies will be met with unrelenting force. The United States is not seeking war with the Iranian regime, but we are fully prepared to respond to any attack.
Okay, that was from John Bolton, and talk about that unrelenting force. You got a couple things. You have, at least reading, that there is some rumor mill of possible attacks on U.S. forces in the region. In addition to that, you have the bloodiest battle now, or skirmish going on between Hamas and the Israelis. Hamas, a proxy for Iran, of course, Israel, a ally of the United States. So is this in reference specifically to the proxy war going on there around Israel, or is this something that's going on, you know, maybe on the high seas and Strait of Hormuz, something like that?
Could be a bit of both. I know Axios over the weekend released a story where they were saying that this Wednesday marks the one-year anniversary of President Trump pulling the United States out of that Iran nuclear deal, and that more sanctions are expected to be put on Iran this week. Just last week, the Wall Street Journal reported that they're going to have new sanctions targeting petrochemical sales, but Axios reporting that new sanctions planned this week will target a different sector of the Iranian economy. And they said Iran's economy has been in a free fall since Trump withdrew the U.S. from the Iran nuclear deal and put those strict sanctions on them. Said their currency has plummeted and dozens of European businesses have pulled out. The International Monetary Fund and World Bank have issued dire forecasts. So that led people here at home in Washington, close to the administration, saying that the regime could respond in a way that's highly unpredictable, which might be the reason we're seeing these this movement in the waters near Iran.
Yeah, you've got this ceasefire going on right now, I guess temporary. We hope it's permanent, but like so many times, temporary ceasefire with the rockets coming into Israel. 700 rockets fired. Now, you know, I know it's a world away. It's a world away, but conceptually think about, you know, if I don't know which one won't get me in more trouble. You're in Mobile County, and there's rockets coming in from Baldwin County.
Yeah.
And it's actually even more because we have the bay between. But let's say you're, you know, adjoining counties. It's 700 rockets come in.
And, you know, Israel has that anti-missile system, the Iron Dome over Israel. That only stopped about 150 of the rockets, so still a lot got through.
So 450 came from Hamas. I guess the rest came from the Israelis. You've got, I mean, just think of, Think about that. Think about hundreds. Let's just talk about hundreds of rockets coming into your country.
Unbelievable. Just yeah. and it, bloody, incredibly bloody.
Yes.
What is it, four Israelis died over the weekend and at least 23 Palestinians. Now, a lot of this comes through as white noise now because we've been hearing about Gaza, the Gaza Strip, and the war between these two for so, or these three between for so long. But when there's this many deaths over one weekend, and I guess they have, they do say they've agreed to another ceasefire, but this has been going on for a really long time now.
So here's another part of this. There's some discussion now that Israel is preparing for a ground invasion of Gaza. Okay? To go in there, put boots on the ground to take out the areas where these rockets might be being launched from. So you have, remember Hamas, a proxy of Iran, doing this, and then you have Israel, the ally of the United States, going, if they do, into Gaza, boots on the ground. You have U.S. Battleship group moving in and bombers moving into the region as well. It is disconcerting.
Yeah.
You know, this situation. And then at the same time, there's discussion from the saber rattlers about putting U.S. troops in Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that maybe because the Russians are there. The Russians put troops and advisors, air quotes here, advisors, in on the behest of Maduro. And, of course, the Russians, I think, deny it. Mm-hmm. There's, like, video and pictures of the Russians coming in, but they're like, what? We don't...
Yeah.
What troops?
They keep showing up everywhere, don't they? Anywhere there is an issue between the U.S. and somewhere else, Russians just magically appear.
Wouldn't you... But, I mean, if you look at it from the Russian perspective in realpolitik, not as an American, just, you know, look at the game, it would behoove them to try to get some big influence in Venezuela. I mean, they've got Cuba. If they can get something just south of the United States like that, not just south, but, you know, south of the United States, over on this side of the Atlantic, it works well for the Russians to have more influence there. So they're going to try to do it. How much do we push back on that? How much before you would say, yeah, we need to involve U.S. troops in Venezuela in that place? And you get a situation with Guaido. You get United States and I think 40 some other nations backing him. But the bloc, the old communist bloc, even though they don't exist like that anymore, standing behind Maduro. And that, I mean, talk about the, go back and read history books. This is proxy war kind of stuff going on here. Do we want to involve ourselves? But is the risk too great that if we don't involve ourselves, you know, losing control there? I think Guaido had miscalculated in a big way. If you look at this, how many of the military would come to his side?
Mm-hmm.
It's like he, you know, and a coup, the idea too that they said after the coup attempt last week that they were going to, that was just the first part, and they're going to come back. Look at successful coups over time. There are exceptions, but the majority of them happen in the middle of the night and they happen right away. They don't do a lot of, and then we'll come back and try a coup again. Those coup, like you go to bed one night and one government's in power and you wake up the next morning and somebody else is in power. That's how the coups that have worked have happened. Not like, hey, we're coming back in a week and then we're going to try this again. That, and when Maduro has the military, I don't know how Guaido and them are successful.
Yeah, we've been talking about boots on the ground for what? Two decades now, three decades with the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and then before that you go back to Vietnam. I know a lot of people are war weary and tired of seeing our soldiers fighting overseas for what they would consider not really, you know, for Americans, but fighting on behalf of these other countries in some instances. And the president made a big deal about pulling troops out of Afghanistan, but his closest advisors, and John Bolton specifically, not afraid to send soldiers elsewhere. I'd love to see the president's take on boots on the ground, and whether it's for this Gaza Strip fighting that's going on right now, or Venezuela.
Yeah, the Venezuela would probably be the place that if we did. And by the way, I mean John Bolton. I know there's a bunch of Bolton fans out there. I'm not the neocon, so I have a big disagree. I think Bolton would like to put our troops everywhere. Yeah. And as a friend and family member of some of those troops, I'd like them not to be used to solve other people's problems all the time. There it is. You go ahead and 343-0106. You want to blast away on that. But Venezuela may be an opportunity, and I don't mean opportunity a good way, but it may be a scenario where you could see U.S. troops on the ground. In the Israel's got them. They've got the troops. They've got the physical soldiers there. But you look what's coming in, battleships and bombers. So it would be probably the aerial assistance and also munitions fired from ships that would come in there. But it's just, you've got an area like, they surround those rocket centers. They surround those rocket centers in Gaza with civilians to trying to, you know, keep people from a little bit like Cersei in the Red Keep.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah, good
what's
Game
up,
of Thrones
Game,
reference
What's
there.
Up, Game of Thrones fans? They surround those rockets with civilians. So you're going to be, it's not like you can just as easily go in with bombers and bomb those locations. You're going to have troops go in and fight their way in.
Yeah, I really think it's worth watching what happens in Iran over the coming weeks, because it seems really now like they have nothing to lose with the strict economic sanctions that are being placed on them. It sounds like they're having a lot of currency problems there since the U.S. withdrew from the Iran deal. And, you know, an enemy that has nothing to lose is about the most dangerous enemy you have. So, if anything, this is at least precautionary, sending out the USS Abraham Lincoln and those B-1 bombers with it.
All right. We'll talk about that. Take your calls at 343-0106. Also, Superbomb is waving the red cape there in front of the enraged bull. Saying, side note, the Duchess of Sussex, Meghan Markle, is in labor. I know how much you enjoy Americans getting all excited over the royal family. Yes, I have a personal issue with Americans just falling over themselves for a museum piece monarchy that we broke free from in this nation. I don't hate the royals now. I just I'm so American, I cannot be interested in what British monarchy does. Good for them. I hope their baby's fine. This is, by the way, they thought the baby was, there's people taking bets that the baby had been born days ago.
Oh.
And now the story, and that they were keeping it in hiding, and now the story is, I guess, she's in labor.
Some
now
conspiracy theories then.
Yeah, there were people actually, they shut down the English books, the English bet takers, shut down action on people betting May 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, like that, last week, because they thought something was up. These people were really laying money on dates that had already happened, and they were feeling that that the royals had hidden the birth of this child and weren't telling anybody because they had been sequestered or whatever. But now, Superbom, who's on the probably the email list for anything royal family, they sent me a note here that the Duchess of Sussex is in labor. So there you go.
You got to wonder if this baby could be disqualified from, if people are gambling on it and there's something fishy going on here.
People will get, that goes back to our lottery debate in Alabama. There are people who are betting on the birthday of some showpiece monarchy existing on an island half a world away. Y'all keep interested in the monarchs. That's a good thing, right? A 23 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Sean Dalton, Dr. Bill Kane, glad to have y'all along. Phone number 343-0106. See, Dalton, I'm over here looking at the stats on podcast. Let me just say this. Thanks, y'all. Podcast available through the front page of our website, fmtalk1065.com. Just click the link for podcast, and you can go cafeteria style, buffet style, a la carte style, and select the show and the day and the hour that you're looking for. And that's, you know, that takes a lot of searching, too, because we do like 40 hours a week of live local shows that are created right here, not piped in from somewhere else. We're doing them here. So we appreciate you going there, but there are easier ways.
Yeah, there are. And you can subscribe. There's several places you can subscribe. If you got an iPhone like me and you're cool, you can go to the iTunes podcast store. If you got an Android
if
like
you're
Sean.
An old fogey with a Samsung, like an Android phone, then I go to Stitcher because that's where the mature listeners go. Stitcher is the app, like someone who stitches. It works good as well.
And there's also TuneIn, where you're probably already streaming us. You can get the TuneIn podcast and Spotify, where a lot of people I know listen to music on Spotify. You can now get the podcast there too. And I'm proud because I converted someone in my family, converted my wife from Android to iPhone. And I barely evaded a catastrophic, maybe it might have ended the marriage, but while switching her over from iPhone to Android, almost lost all of her pictures, including
baby pictures, y'all.
2 months of maternity leave photos. Where she took pictures every single day. Thankfully, they were backed up to a cloud, even without her knowing. They backed the pictures up to the cloud, and I was able to save that and save our marriage, I think, at the same time by getting those photos. But yeah, converted someone to iPhone, so that's pretty cool.
All right. Today, it's not just National Nurses Day. It's National Nurses Week.
Really?
They get the whole week, and I think that's probably right on.
Mm-hmm.
National Nurses Week is celebrated annually starting on May 6th. And it's based on the birthday of Florence Nightingale.
Perfect.
Founder of modern nursing. So a big heads up and well done and all those good things to the nurses out there. Y'all are awesome and still know a couple of folks in there. And by the way, too, some of the nurses I knew started, I don't know if they're doing it as much as they used to, but they were doing the traveling thing where there was nurse demand so much in other places. They were going it's like buddies that went and worked in the oil and gas fields in North Dakota.
Yeah.
When things got good up there, they were up there. And then I had friends going to work in nursing in Denver and Los Angeles and somewhere else. They were making I was like, why are you going? They said, here's how much we're making a day. I said, holy cow.
Wow, that's awesome.
Good on you.
So this would be the week where if you go in and need blood drawn or need them to find a vein.
A phlebotomist.
If you got a new nurse who isn't used to that and they miss your veins, I don't know, 5, 6, 10 times, don't complain this week because it's National Nurses Week.
That's right. Just save your complaints for the next week.
Yeah, let them have it.
You need the pros that can get those veins on the first stab or something like that.
I never get them. I always get the practicing nurse, which that's all right with me. It's National Nurses Week.
All right, so I'll celebrate nurses this week as well. All right, a couple things here. Number one, I'm talking about the situation internationally. And yes, Chris says, who was it? The politician said the nurses just play cards all day. Remember that a few weeks ago?
Bad idea.
Talk about the international situation. I think it bears watching here, the situation with our battleship group moving towards the Middle East. You've got two proxy wars, the way I see it. Actually, more on the planet, but two that we're talking about this morning. You've got Hamas, which is a proxy of Iran, firing rockets into Israel. Israel talking about moving ground troops in, which they have to do, because if you just try to bomb all those rocket locations, you're going to kill innocent people. So they're going to move troops in there, which is going to have Iran step things up. And here we go with the U.S. U.S. might increased in the region. There's one air power possibility of a proxy war. Then you have Venezuela. And you have President Trump having a conversation with Vladimir Putin, one day if they will ever release that audio of those phone calls, what must that be like with Putin and President Trump on the phone? Do you think they say, hey, what's up, man? Do you think they just go right into it or how that's all? I do wonder what that sounds like.
I have a feeling that even though I know the press likes to paint that they're best friends.
Oh, yeah. No, but I
imagine these are pretty icy phone calls.
No. Yeah. When I say what's up, man, I don't think they're bosom buddies. I'm saying how do you... You know how you get into phone calls with a little bit of pleasantry and, a little bit of just, how are you doing? So, how's your mom and them or whatever?
I bet, in my opinion, I think Trump starts the conversation. He probably says something like, Vlad, how you doing, Vlad? Good. How are things in Russia? And then just gets right into it. And they talk for an hour.
Wouldn't you want to hear that one day? Wouldn't you, if that was, once it wasn't a national security issue and something down the road, wouldn't you want to hear, and not just President Trump, other presidents talking with big leaders of countries, just what those... I'm fascinated by, is the call completely scripted, or is it casual? I'm fascinated by that.
I imagine he has a list compiled by, his advisors and himself, just a list of things he needs to get through and talk. I mean, 1 hour to talk about all that's going on right now between Russia and the U.S., and I know there was a big deal made about this particular phone call over the weekend because Trump did not ask Vladimir Putin, apparently did not ask him about... in the elections, what's the word? Because they said in the Mueller report...
The interference?
The interference in the election, and the president did not ask about possible 2020 interference. So there was a big deal made about that.
Okay, so the press will come out and say this. And listen, because my issue with the call is, as it was laid out between the president and Putin, is that they both kind of... The president comes out and says, well, he wants what's best for Venezuela, and we do too. Those are two different things, y'all.
Yeah.
Those are two different things. What Putin thinks is best for Venezuela and what we think is best for Venezuela are two different things. So I got my issues there. But to the idea that he didn't ask him about Russian interference coming up in 2020, press ran with that this weekend. You think he's going to say, hey, y'all aren't planning to, put it in Sullivanese, hey, y'all aren't planning to mess with our elections in 2020, are you?
No.
No, of course we're not. What, really, do you think that Vladimir Putin's going to go, you got me. Yeah, we had a whole plan that we were going to, you know, do this again in our Russian troll farms. And I got, but you got me. You asked me. So, of course, I'm going to tell you the truth, and I'm not going to do it. What do you, what?
Yeah, like Trump brings it up, and then there's silence on the other end of the line. Like, what? You know about that?
I guess we'll call it off. Really? Really?
And you also got more tariffs with China. So China in the news, Russia in the news, Venezuela, the Gaza Strip. The international news went crazy this weekend.
Absolutely. Also, and thank you from the text line, Teacher Appreciation Week this week as well. Teachers and nurses, both. Thank you, thank you. All right, the people kind of make the world go round, that's for sure. Some of that crew. Check the news, we'll be right back.
Thank you, Kane. 836 here on FM Talk 106.5, and this is Mobile Mornings, Monday style. Right now we head over to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. Happy Monday. Hope everybody's fired up to get a good week started.
Yeah, happy Monday to you, too. The Kentucky Derby over the weekend, lots of horsepower on the track and lots of horsepower in the McConnell Automotive lot. Tell me what's going on.
That's a great way to segue into this. Man, we got some great news, Dalton, over the weekend. People that are out there that are looking for some special deals on, we've been doing these $12,000 and $13,000 discounts off the last remaining 18 models. And we got some news, Dalton, over the weekend that we're going to throw out a couple deals for the listeners on a brand new 2019 AT4 demo that actually my little brother drove, where we're going to give over $12,000 off that brand new 2019. So that's exciting. 0% financing came out. And Dalton, everybody just needs to kind of move fast on these things, because when General Motors puts zero for 72, that means lowering your payment. So don't make that payment on that truck or SUV you don't like. Hopefully people will shop our website and move fast, buddy. It's McConnellAutomotive.com is all they have to do.
And this AT4 Sierra, if people don't know about it, it's a bit different from the trucks that you've had in the past. I'm surprised there's a deal this early on them. Tell us more about the AT4.
Yeah, it's kind of a real shock to me too. But an AT4, everybody picture in your mind what people normally spend $8,000 or $10,000 on a truck after, or maybe 4 or 5. This truck has got the red tow hook that's lifted up 2.5 inches, the big aggressive, you know, masculine look with still a lot of class. So AT4 is just the new Sierra that GMC put out with that 6-function tailgate. It's just big and bad looking, Dalton. You've seen them, and if people go to our website, they'll see that demo. We have one at that price, and several more we're going to give huge discounts on, including the 0%. So it is a bad boy truck if you've ever.
That's right. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a good one.
All right, Dalton. Take care, buddy.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dauphin Street just east of I-65.
Right, 838. Let me throw this story in the mix, too, before we get by it. It's kind of a one-off deal here. But you see the suggestion here, and I maybe open this up for phone calls if you think this is a good idea. It was, I think, Jerry Falwell Jr. who had said, I'm paraphrasing here until I can get the story, that President Trump should get another 2 years tacked on to his presidential term to make up for the attempted coup.
Oh, so, a 6-year term.
Yes. Yeah, there it is. Story from... Now there's, I keep losing it. I don't know where it goes. So I had it up earlier. We'll find it at some point. Yeah, the story was that he's saying, hey, because of the malfeasance that has come out here surrounding what has happened. Yeah, there's a story from thehill.com. Thank you. Trump retweets Jerry Falwell Jr. suggesting his term should be extended by 2 years. Story says President Trump on Sunday retweeted a post from Liberty University President Jerry Falwell Jr. that said Trump's first term should be extended by 2 years as payback, quote, for time stolen by this corrupt failed coup, end quote. Falwell, an avid and vocal supporter of Trump, was alluding to the recently completed investigation into Russian interference. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Here's the tweet. After the best week ever for @RealDonaldTrump, no obstruction, no collusion, New York Times admits @BarackObama did spy on his campaign and the economy is soaring. Now I support reparations. Trump should have 2 years added to his first term as payback for time stolen by this corrupt failed coup, end quote. President Trump followed up the retweet with tweets of his own alleging 2 years of his presidency were stolen, that he will never, stolen, misspelled, that he'll never be able to get back. Y'all, please, somebody, with the Kentucky thing and that, I like the idea that our president can tweet and go right to the people, but let's... We got the budget, okay? Let's have a spell checker. All right. Well,
there are congressional oversight committees, right? They need like spelling a Twitter oversight spelling oversight committee.
All right, so the tweet said, despite the tremendous success that I have had as president, including perhaps the greatest economy and the most successful first 2 years of any president in history, they have stolen 2 years of our presidency, collusion, delusion, that we'll never be able to get back. Trump's retweet came after he slammed Democrats for seeking to have Mueller testify about the report. That's another thing we'll talk about this morning. The president said Mueller shouldn't testify because the report found that neither Trump nor his campaign conspired to collude with Russia to interfere in the 2016 election.
Yeah, I agree that it was a huge roadblock having this Mueller investigation ongoing for the first 2 years. And the president just said it right there in his tweet. He got a lot done in those 2 years, but I think it keeps coming back for me to the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Mm-hmm. Imagine the complaints if somebody suggested this for President Obama to have an extra 2 years added to his term, and what people would be saying,
right,
if President Obama retweeted that. And the same with executive actions. I mean, everyone was so up in arms when President Obama would sign with that pen on his desk.
Mm-hmm.
But when President Trump does it, it's okay. I just want people to remember that they support this the next time a Democrat's in office and is doing the same things.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's Jerry Falwell Jr. Tweeting something in the president, I mean, for fun there. But yeah, that would be a precedent that I would push against, even though there's a beef here with what was done to hamstring President Trump. I see it. I agree with it. But the idea that you're going to extend don't fall into this. Don't fall into this kind of worship of man and this idea of the cult's personality, and because it's your person, like Dalton said, that therefore it should be extended 2 years. That is not a precedent that I'm going to be involved with starting. Not at all. That is bad. That's a bad road to take right there, y'all.
Don't you think it's we're in a bad place in American politics if this starts happening on the regular with presidents? I mean, it was bad enough to have an investigation looming for this long over the current sitting president, especially to find out that he did not collude. But if this starts happening every time we have a new president, I don't know how America is going to, you know, keep on rolling if every single president we have is under investigation, which is kind of what it seems like Congress has been heading to for the last couple decades.
Okay. The most important thing that can be done to preserve our republic going forward, that all assets, everything should be focused on preserving the integrity of elections.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about whatever has to be done to make sure that when election results come out, people know that that is the truth. That is the most important thing going forward. If not, look around the world. Look at Venezuela. Pick a country where in each election cycle, if people think that it's not on the up and up, That's when coups and uprisings and all that happen, when people think, this election was stolen. Think about how many times that term's been used by both sides. Stolen election, this is not right. There's some kind of malfeasance. They need to ferret that out and root that out right now, because as a precedent, that could be the thing that dismantles our system. If people don't trust results, because if you do trust results and you have faith in the results of the votes, you can say, well, that was not my person, but the system is the system, and more people wanted this person, and we'll double down and try to get our opinions in the next election, trying to get that pendulum to swing back our way, which, by the way, it does swing back right and left and right and left, if y'all notice.
Like clockwork.
Yeah. But the idea that from election to election, whether it's state, you know, or federal, that you don't believe the numbers, then the second the numbers come out that they don't favor your person, you immediately say the numbers aren't true. Then where do you that look at a Venezuela? There's 100 countries you could put on that list, but Venezuela most. That's what happens when people don't believe election results.
And in so many of these other countries, it's happened forever because mm-hmm. the government is able to control the media, basically, and put out what information they want. But here in America, specifically, where we've always had free and open elections, I think now we're in a more peculiar time than ever with the internet, and it's harder than ever to verify whether hacking of elections is going on, and harder than ever to verify the news that you're getting, because there's so many different ways that you can get news now on the internet. I think we've entered a really, really peculiar time in American history with the internet.
But if overwhelmingly you could, and believe me, I got some work to do on fixing that. if overwhelmingly you had Americans, there's always going to be people on the fringes that no matter what, everything's a conspiracy, but go through and show the American people you have done what you're supposed to do to make sure, or maybe find some method we haven't even thought of yet to verify. I mean, verify beyond verify that the people who vote are the people who are supposed to vote. People aren't voting twice. Dead people aren't voting. You know, people that don't aren't citizens aren't voting. On the flip side, make sure that you the counting of the votes, all those things, beyond reproach.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we continue. If you don't, if every time whoever you are, your people don't win, you take to the streets and protest that it was stolen, we're no better than a third world dictatorship or some tin horn third world dictatorship.
But do you think that's the new normal now, that it takes the first 2 years of a presidency to determine that?
I hope not. But I mean, that is probably correct, but I hope not. All right, we come back from the break. Yes, it's, there you go, Anglophiles. Duchess Meghan has given birth to a baby boy.
Hmm.
So there you go. Now the attention of this little group of people that dared rebel against the monarchy will all be obsessed with monarchy for the next couple of days. All news will turn to some kind of fawning display over the child. Good for the child. Child's an innocent creature. Those people are all probably nice folks. Good for them. I'm happy their baby is born. I'm just not going to trip over myself for a...
Does the baby have a name yet?
I don't know.
We take an action on the baby's name.
Go check the betting boards and see what happens. We're coming right back too. Plus, Congressman Bradley Byrne calls Tommy Tuberville a carpetbagger. Right, 852 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Tell you what, this weekend coming up is stacked with activities. Let's do this. Let's give you a chance to win tickets to at least one of those activities. Brian Adams and a Shine a Light tour at the Wharf Amphitheater. Show's coming up on Friday, 8 p.m. show. Caller number 6 right now at 343-0106. The tickets are yours. Caller number 6, 343-0106. Tickets on sale now. Ticketmaster.com, Wharf Box Office, or charge my phone, 800-745-3000. So Friday night, you got Brian Adams. Saturday during the day, 99 bottles of beer on the lawn over at Southern Napa with our buddy Jim Cox, and it's a fun event. I mean, you're a craft beer fan. It is a place to go. That happens starting at 1 o'clock this weekend. You've got Brian Adams,
mm-hmm.
Then you have 99 bottles of beer on the lawn, and then you have Jim Gaffigan that night.
Yeah.
At the Wharf Amphitheater.
And I know several people that are doing all three.
And then, by the way, the next day is Mother's Day.
And then Mother's Day. You got to make sure you show up for Mother's Day. And I always have a great time at 99 bottles of beer on the lawn.
Yes.
Remember one time
you won a dog.
I won a dog, and I won a raffle. And I got all 99 bottles of beer that were out there for sample. Actually, there were more, because even though the name is 99 bottles, I think there ended up being 108 different kinds of beer and ciders to sample that day. So I really hit the jackpot one of those years. But
and 2 weeks later, you were done with all of them.
And 2 weeks later, I had completed them. And yes, the raffle went towards a animal society there in Baldwin County, and I ended up going ahead and adopting the dog.
Yeah, so you got the dog and the beers, and yeah, that's part of the fun at 99 bottles of beer on the lawn. Great chance to just, I mean, you're talking about sampling some craft beer from regional players, local players, national players. They're there for the sampling, and it's cool. You just walk around, you sample, you kind of score them, you get a little score sheet, and see what you like. It's a lot of fun. Once again, this is in Daphne at Southern Napa. It is this weekend. So we've got Brian Adams, and we got a winner for Brian Adams.
Yeah, congratulations to Dan from Spanish Fort. Won tickets to see Brian Adams this Friday night.
Cool. So there's your way. You start off with Brian Adams Friday night, then 99 bottles of beer on Saturday during the day, then Jim Gaffigan on Saturday evening starting at 7:30, and then don't forget Mother's Day on Sunday. Don't screw this up.
Don't mess it up. Yeah, I made sure to go ahead and order the Mother's Day gifts, and now I got to buy an extra Mother's Day gift this year since my wife is a new mother, her first Mother's Day coming up this Sunday.
So you're going to be stacked with doing Mother's Day things.
Yeah.
A couple odds and ends here that we got to, before we finish up. Number one, if you thought maybe all the hubbub around the Avengers movie is now in the rear view and it's probably just going to make a few more million, how's that movie doing?
It's doing pretty good. It became the fastest movie ever to reach $2 billion at the box office. Hit $2 billion this weekend in its second weekend in theaters. Only took 11 days to hit that $2 billion mark. For reference, here are some of the other movies that made $2 billion at the box office. Took Titanic 5,233 days to make $2 billion. Took Star Wars Force Awakens 54 days. Took Avatar 47 days. The first Avengers took 48 days to make $2 billion. And this new Avengers Endgame, 11 days to reach that mark.
Unreal.
Unbelievable. Made $145.8 million in North America and $282.2 million over the second weekend. After that, just massive first weekend.
All right, and rumor mill for those Game of Thrones fans out there. Dalton and I were talking about this before we got started with the show this morning. I didn't notice it. That's not surprising since the lighting is so poor on Game of Thrones. But I guess they're in the big celebration after the Battle of Winterfell scene last night where they're all drinking wine and whatever. Yep. That there was a cup on the table that was not a chalice, was not a grog mug. It was a what?
Yeah, 2 years in the making that they've been putting this season together, the final season of Game of Thrones. And I missed it in last night's episode also, but in one scene, like you said, the celebration after the Battle of Winterfell, you see the queen, and right in front of her sits a Starbucks cup. A cup of coffee.
Okay, when I first heard that, I said, no way.
Even if they'd seen it before editing, they could easily edit a Starbucks cup out of the scene. But apparently, it got past every single director on set.
Didn't get past Twitter.
Did not get past Twitter because there's screenshots out and video. If you thought it was fake, like I did, there's video of people watching the episode, and you can clearly see a Starbucks cup in the middle of one of the. I'm sure that episode last night, this entire season, probably one of the most expensive shoots ever for a television show, and even in the most expensive television shows ever, something as small as a Starbucks cup can get by.
Maybe from a distance, I saw it when you first said, well, here it is. Mm-hmm. It looked like the colors of the Starbucks cup looked like a grog mug or something like that. You know what I'm saying? It seemed like until you zoomed in and you went, oh, yeah.
Yeah, what gives it away is that white top to the Starbucks cups.
I thought that was like the head of some beer or something, but it's.
Yeah, it looks like venti sized, maybe a hot coffee. Starbucks and Darren Rovell, who is on Twitter, he's the brand ambassador. They say he's always tweeting about how much money sponsorships are valued at. He mentioned on the Kentucky Derby with the horse losing how much money it would lose in stud fees just by not winning the Kentucky Derby. Waiting on him to see how much in free publicity Starbucks got by having their cup in the episode of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, because they need it. Because they need that help. Maybe they put that they left it in on purpose.
Ah.
To put it as a Easter egg, or maybe to make sure that if they thought their work was perfect, they put it in. Like, I know in my mom's side of the family, the ladies that quilted did quilts as part of church activities, they would always make an imperfection in the quilt because they said only God could do something perfect, so they shouldn't attempt to do so. They did these beautiful quilts, and then there would be some mistake in there to
a perfect imperfection.
That's right. All right, 8:58. We're out of here. Mike Gallagher on next. We'll see you at noon today for Midday Mobile.